Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, and country music has a certain image. A guy with a guitar, a southern accent, singing story songs, or maybe a song about a truck and some beer, like this.
It takes one hand to count the things I can count on. No, there ain't much, man, that ain't ever let me down.
I love that song, and they never let me live it down. So the other essential part of that image is the typical country musician is that he's a white guy. And there's a perception that country music is only for and by white folks. So you may be surprised to learn that this song, The Cannonball, usually associated with country music royalty, the Carters, was actually co-written by a black musician named Leslie Riddle. Here he is singing The Cannonball.
I hear that train coming down the track, gonna carry me away, but ain't gonna bring me back from Buffalo to Washington.
Riddle was actually responsible for a lot of the Carters family songs. Now, race and country can be fraught. Last year, Lil Nas X forced the industry to take a hard look at who gets to be called a country artist when he released Old Town Road and then was removed from the country charts. Now the conversation has been put in a new light amidst calls to remove Confederate statues and Old South symbolism everywhere from state capitals to Mississippi state flag to NASCAR. Now country music is reacting too. The Dixie Chicks took the Dixie out and are just now the Chicks. Country rock band Lady Antebellum made a similar move and are going by Lady A. They were apparently not aware of a veteran black blues singer who's been using that name for decades. Elamin Abdelmahmoud is editor of news curation for BuzzFeed News, and early this month he wrote an article in Rolling Stone called Rewriting Country Music's Racist Past. Elamin, thank you for joining us, and you are openly a country music fan, correct?
I sure am. I love that Luke Combs song you played.
Right on. You are in my camp. All right. So, you know, the history of racism in country music you write about in this article starts with a guy named Ralph Peer. Who was Ralph Peer, and how did he create this idea that country was white?
Right. So Ralph Peer is a pretty influential record executive from the sort of early 20th century. And one of the big things that he did was he oversaw a bunch of recordings, including Mammy Smith's Crazy Blues, which is like the first blues recording aimed specifically at a black market. But Ralph Peer was also a man on a mission. He went down to the South, and he was looking for more artists that could give him more race records, which is to say more records aimed specifically at black people. But instead, what he actually found was people like Jimmy Rogers and the Carter family. Those are people who are foundational to country music, and he decides to record them and build them as something called hillbilly music. And it's really this sort of genre, this advertising of country so early on, that creates this whole narrative of country as being sort of white music. Like, you know, people like Jimmy Rogers, people like the Carter family, they were learning music from that black artists were doing in the South. It was just by Ralph Peer's sort of sheer force of will that he created the genre out of nothing, and then it just became the industry you see today.
So one of Peer's more enduring success stories, you mentioned, is the Carter family, and they're kind of the founding family of country music. But you write about a part of the story that's been left out. What's
yeah.
been left out?
Well, one of the amazing things about the Carter family is that A.P. Carter couldn't write music. So he would go around to churches and he would want to gather all these songs that they performed that became so iconic. But because he couldn't write music, he had to take a black man, Leslie Riddle, who he played with him. And the job of Leslie was to memorize the melodies while A.P. wrote down the lyrics. So, like, there literally wouldn't be a Carter family discography without Leslie Riddle, who actually was able to take A.P. Carter to black churches with him. He opened those doors so they could collect those songs. And then through, you know, the recording process, because this was sort of right at the start of the recording industry, the stuff that gets recorded is the stuff that becomes the history of the genre. You know, we know these recordings from people like the Carter family or Roy Acuff, but like the reason we know the recordings is because there are lots of other people who weren't recorded.
You also mentioned Ray Charles in your article, and he's somebody most people now wouldn't necessarily think he's country, but in the 60s, he put out two volumes of country covers called Modern Sounds and Country and Western Music, and they're filled with covers of country standards. Let's play one just for fun. You Win Again, written originally by Hank Williams.
Yeah.
I know that I should leave, but then I just can't go. You win again. This heart of mine.
I didn't know I needed this in my life, but I do. It's amazing. Why don't we know about this?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great question. Ray Charles got his start playing in hillbilly bands. Like, that's how he sort of began his whole career when he was in his teens. And you know, the records you're talking about, Modern Sounds and Country and Western, they became so influential to country that they're considered one of the most important country records of all time. But one of the people to cite that album as an influence is this little Texan musician you might have heard of, who's named Willie Nelson. Like, Willie Nelson was listening to this record, being like, I want to make music like this. I think Ray, it's just simply by the sheer, you know, amount of accomplishment that Ray Charles had, that it's just easier to ignore the country part of the picture, so that you start thinking of him as something he's accomplished in things in lots of other genres, but not necessarily country, because there's just this image that endures of country being a white artist thing.
My guest is Elamin Abdelmahmoud. He wrote a piece for Rolling Stone called Rewriting Country Music's Racist History. You spoke to the Americana musician and historian Rhiannon Giddens, a friend of the show. So you talked to her about this story, and she pointed out that country music is a genre of nostalgia. Why was that important in her analysis?
Well, so what I was talking to Rhiannon about in that moment was, you know, I was trying to get a sense of, okay, yes, white artists have sort of established a dominance in the genre, but why is it that black people haven't turned to that genre over time? Like, why is that not a thing? And her theory on this, and it's a theory that I really like, is that country is naturally sort of oriented towards nostalgia, whether it's, you know, nostalgia of place or nostalgia of accomplishment or nostalgia of family. And for a lot of black people, there's nothing but pain in that nostalgia. There's nothing but pain in sort of looking at this past, seeing, going all the way back to slavery and seeing that, like, you know, your family line sort of stops at a certain point. So black culture, Rhiannon sort of theorizes, is sort of naturally feature oriented, and that creates that tension. So for good reason, you know, country music was never marketed to black people, but black people never turned to it either.
Well, how would you compare the nostalgia of country music to the kind of nostalgia, as people kind of describe it, the way some people latch on to Confederate statues or symbolism?
I mean, it's quite similar, isn't it? I mean, it's no wonder, you know, that artists like, for example, Lynyrd Skynyrd used to play with Confederate flags on the stage, or groups like Lady Antebellum or Lady A now would just see it so completely natural to name themselves Lady Antebellum and not ever see the problem with that. And even, you know, groups like the Dixie Chicks, who have been so incredibly progressive their whole career, just grew up in a culture in Texas being raised around Dixie as something to celebrate without necessarily questioning it, hence why it was in the name for so long. So that nostalgia it doesn't need to be articulated so much as just sort of the water all around you. And it's the water that ends up forming a lot of country artists who end up becoming really protective of it and think it's really closely tied to the identity of country. So when you see groups like Lady A or the Chicks now begin to challenge that, it tells me that something is afoot. Like, something is afoot when it comes to questioning the value of that nostalgia and what it's actually protecting, you know?
I want to talk about the BET Awards over the weekend. Because yeah. Kane Brown is a big country star. He's black. He was the first male black country star to ever perform on the BET Awards. And black Twitter was all about it. One tweet said, hey, so now we like country? Let's take a listen to Kane Brown's performance, and we'll talk about him on the other side.
White churches, black churches. Different people, same hearses. It's kind of hard to fight with each other. Laying down in the ground, six under. At every show, I see my people. They ain't the same, but they're all equal. One love, one God, one family. You're missing every color if you're only seeing black and white. Tell me how you're gonna change your mind if your heart's on overboard. We ain't that different from each other.
Elmer, what do you make of this performance?
I mean, I love Kane Brown. Protect Kane Brown at all costs. He's been so great. When I saw that, it reminded me of the conversation that I had with another black artist in country, Jimmy Allen, who is just so great. And he was one of the people I actually talked to for this piece, but we just didn't end up having enough space in the piece to fit it in. And the reason I talked to him was because in early 2019, he tweeted, you know, BET stands for Black Entertainment Television, but yet they won't play my music videos. Last time I checked, I was black. People worried that Nashville wouldn't let me in, but it's actually BET that's not letting me in. And it was actually a pretty interesting statement for someone of Jimmy Allen's stature to make. He's sort of a star on the rise. And what he was trying to get started was, you know, a conversation about what we define as black entertainment. And why doesn't country fit into that? So the fact that a bunch of people finally realized yesterday due to Kane Brown that country music is black music and also country music has those bangers is like all good news all around.
I also think it's interesting, a lot of the sort of young gun white country artists basically rap.
They do.
Over guitars. That's kind of the funny thing.
That's the part that gets ignored, I think, most often is country rap has been trending so close. Artists like Sam Hunt, artists like Maren Morris are borrowing so heavily from R&B that you're listening to it and you're like, this is not a country song as much as it's a country song that's built on top of like a hip hop hook. It's sort of the exact same mechanics. So the idea that these genres have ever been separate isn't true, but it's especially not true right now when you see these white artists who are sort of fusing them without a question, you know?
What is your current favorite country song?
My current favorite country song? I'm a big High Women fan. That's a super group of Brandi Carlile, Amanda Shires, and Natalie Henby, and Maren Morris. So, Crowded Table. I keep returning to that song a lot these days.
I miss people, you know? Yeah, you mentioned them in your article. Why did you include them as part of the story?
Well, so one of the artists that I focus on in the piece is Yola, who is just an incredible British soul country artist, and she sings on the High Women record. And she has this like incredibly powerful verse about the Freedom Riders movement in the 1960s, and it just features so prominently on this album that's meant to challenge the country establishment to begin with. And so I just thought it was like a beautiful moment of sort of intersectionality in country.
The name of the piece is Rewriting Country Music's Racist History. It was written by Elamine Abdelmahmoud. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll go out on the High Woman.
Thank you.
I was a freedom rider when we thought the South had won. Virginia in the spring of 61. I sat down on the Greyhound that was bound for Mississippi. My mother asked me if that ride was worth my life. And when the shots rang out, I never heard the sound. But I am still around.
Now take that ride again. NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.